Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Thursday afternoon. You know at this time on Thursdays we bring in Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet. 31 Thoughts is his work you need to check out, and he now joins us. Elliot, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Well, we have talked a lot about your appearance on NHL Network with the announcement, the glorious beard that we have somehow failed to talk about during these Thursday segments. How long has this been in play here, Elliot? That was quite impressive to see.
Evidently pretty long.
So the last day I shaved was the day they announced the pause.
So that's from March? Middle of March?
I think it's March 13th, yes. I think that's the last day I shaved.
Wow.
That's
that is impressive. That was a clap.
What about the trimming? Has there been trimming all? Or is just natural?
No.
All
we're
natural.
All natural here. This is the law of the jungle. Yes.
And how much does this get in the way?
Oh, it's disgusting. My son, who's 8, he likes to grab it and feel around it. And I say, Matt, should I keep the beard or shave? But he'll just go shave. And my wife thinks it's disgusting. And, I'm getting more and more people texting me and saying, are you serious? Cut that thing already. But I had one person say, Joe Thornton is shaved. You have to keep the balance. You have to keep yours. So I've said that I'm not cutting it until the puck drops, and I plan on sticking to that.
So what do players think about it, though?
Oh, most of them think it's disgusting.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
I figured it'd be different.
Well, some of the beards we've seen in the league, I can't imagine anybody casting any stone saying that. I've seen some pretty bad beards in the league.
They think it's funny. The ones who texted me or said anything about it, they think it's really funny. I think they like the fact that, we're trying to make humor and fun in these times. But as they say, despite that, it's still disgusting.
So your wife has apparently decided to go along with this whole time.
I always joke with her. We have a pretty funny relationship. And she's like, that thing is so gross. She's like everybody else. And I'm like, what are you going to do, leave? And she just laughs. She goes, you're right, I'm stuck. What am I going to do here? So, on this one, she's conceded defeat, and we just have to live with it until it's all over.
Well, hopefully this week we're inching a little bit closer to this all being over very, very soon. So let me just start there. We had David Poile on a couple of hours ago, and mm-hmm. I'll just start with you the same way I did with him. How do you feel about the return to play plan? Did everything work out in your mind? Did you just give us your overall thoughts?
Well, I mean, there were things, I'm sure like everybody else, there were things I liked and things I didn't like. But now that it's over, my general way of life is if you have an issue with something, state your case, and then a decision is rendered one way or the other, and then you move on, right? Unless it's really egregious. There were some things I personally don't think Boston should get caught. I think they should be guaranteed the home ice advantage, whatever that is, throughout the playoffs, last change, all that stuff. But people didn't agree with me, and I lost on that one. There's a chance they could fall out of the number one seed. But I'm not going to continue to bitch about that. It's over. It's done with. It's decided. We move on. I think for the most part, and hopefully we get to play, I think it's going to be really fun to watch. I think it's going to be really interesting. There's going to be some good matchups there. There's going to be some interesting. There's going to be some interesting series. That first series is going to be something we've kind of haven't seen in a long time. I think you got 24 fan bases involved, which I think is big. You know, I'm looking forward to it. You know, the best thing about this week was we got to talk about the fun stuff, right? Like the stuff we like to talk about. And hopefully there's plenty more days for us to do that.
I asked David if Nashville was ever a real consideration for the list of 10 of hub cities, possible hub cities, and he said yes. He brought up dressing rooms because obviously you're going to need to accommodate 12 teams, and he kind of pointed to, laid out that you got to have the right setup, and maybe some of the places are one of those facilities that shares, you know, NHL, NBA team, they have a setup to accommodate the dressing room situation. We kind of had fun earlier, so after that interview, of just guessing. Willie said Vegas, Minnesota. Chase said Columbus, Dallas. I said Vegas with a wild card of Edmonton. And this is where I want to go with you. Why would you have three cities on there? I need to know if the quarantine, what's in place now when you enter, you go across the border and enter Canada, if you think that's going to go away, because obviously I will change my answer. Teams are not going 2 weeks in advance to quarantine. So,
well, I agree with that. I think you're right about that, and I think the league made that very clear this week. The players have been saying that behind the scenes, and you know, I always got a sense there was a confidence that they would be able to get things to work out. And I think we now know it's going to be easier to get things to work out in the United States as opposed to Canada. You know, the U.S. government has made it very clear they want sports to get going, and they will do what it takes to make that happen. The Canadian government doesn't quite feel that way. So I think if that two-week quarantine, which is the way it goes right now, is not lifted by the time they are ready to begin training camps, not only will there be no hubs in Canada, but I think it's very possible the Canadian teams will be training somewhere in the U.S. The GM of the Vancouver Canucks, Jim Benning, yesterday said that they are looking into training in the States if the border thing does not change. They're not the only team thinking about that. I think a few other Canadian teams are looking at it too. And I think the border is now closed through June 21st. Around then, the next decision is supposed to be made. I think if the quarantine isn't up, then there will be no hub in Canada.
I said if I were just trying to think through the league's lens, through their eyes, I said, here's my rankings of where they think. And obviously, I'm throwing darts here, so I want to hear how you would answer. I said 1, 2, 3 would be Edmonton, Toronto, Vancouver. How would you rank the three cities?
Well, in terms of safety, I think Toronto right now would be third.
I think Toronto would be third. Okay.
In terms of safety.
Okay.
Vancouver and Edmonton are, in terms of the number of cases, they're way lower than Toronto. So that is something that both those cities have in favor of Toronto. You know, in terms of overall setup, I would rank Toronto and Edmonton ahead of Vancouver. I think all three of them have a great primary rink. Like that problem you talked about with Nashville and the dressing rooms, none of these rinks have that issue. They're all relatively new, beautiful rinks, especially Edmonton's, which is the newest and is a spectacular rink. The issue that Vancouver would have that the other two don't have is Toronto has better practice setups, and Edmonton has better practice setups closer to the main rink. The hotel situations, Toronto is the best, with Vancouver second and Edmonton third. Edmonton is putting out a full court, all-out blitz on getting this done. They are nakedly ambitious in how they want to do this. I think the biggest question to me, guys, becomes, does it matter if it's an eastern or a western city? Like, we all kind of think Vegas is in big on this. And, like, you know, to me, Vegas-Toronto would make a lot of sense. But, you know, I'm not so sure about Ontario right now with the cases being as high as they are. And I'm not sure about Canada. You know, would the league want to go to Vegas and Vancouver or Vegas and Edmonton, two western cities? Would they? I mean, I think the other thing too, I kind of wonder is, would Chicago, for the purposes of this, be considered an Eastern city. If you don't like, if like would Chicago be, if Toronto's not available, you're looking at Columbus, you're looking at Pittsburgh, you're looking at Chicago, could Chicago be the Eastern option? I think they have a lot of different ways they could go here.
I'm talking to Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet. Elliot, I'm going to recall a saying that you used while all the coaching changes were going on during the season, including one in our city in Nashville, and the old adage of if you're getting saves, all of a sudden the coach seems a lot smarter. Well, we definitely know that, you know, the Predators benefited. UC Saros got red hot, but no goalie has played since, you know, March the 11th or whatever. So I just started thinking about the reset and the goalies in this tournament, like Sergei Bobrovsky, for example, who had a nightmare, but he gets to start over. All of these guys, you could probably make an argument that, you know, any one of these goalies, all of a sudden, with the reset button hit, if they're playing their best, their team becomes extremely dangerous. That's going to be the theme of these playoffs, I would think.
Yes, I would agree with that. I mean, you know, another line that's always pretty funny is Alain Vigneault, and he, you have to imagine him saying it with a slightly French accent. He says, if my goaler is better than your goaler, I win. If your goaler is better than my goaler, you win. And I've always loved that way of explaining hockey. And, you know, I think that's going to be so true. I mean, like, somebody asked me today, what do you think the games are going to look like when they start? Well, you know, I was pleasantly surprised to hear they were going to get two exhibition games in, because I think that's going to help. But, you know, like, these guys, they're going to be in shape, but are they going to be in hockey shape? Like, how rusty is it all going to look? And I also do think, guys, like, the lack of the crowd atmosphere, I think it will have an effect. Now, I think we're going to try to do things to make that atmosphere better, but I could see these early games being kind of sluggish. And obviously the goalies in particular, but the line I always use too, guys, is no matter what happens in the regular season, you get to rewrite your year in the playoffs. That's always the case. Yep. Like, you guys, you know, you guys have a lot of guys this year who really struggled. Doesn't matter. Playoff time. You get to rewrite your year. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen for a lot of these guys.
It's a great psychological point that you're making that is going to be something that I think probably sports psychologists will be studying all across, right? That there are some players, right, even go down to the high school levels, that seem to thrive when the crowd is there. And I think of Reggie Jackson, right? I mean, the guys who did it on the big stage, not that they didn't when the, you know, totally didn't when the spotlight was off, but you know what I mean? Like, there are some guys that do seem to thrive off of an environment more so than others, but we'll get to find out, I guess.
Absolutely. I mentioned Reggie Jackson. I was watching this. I watched some YouTube of his 3-homer game last night. I don't know why. I went down this weird rabbit hole of, like, Greg Nettle's great defensive plays from those World Series and then the Jackson homers. Like, that's like some of the first World Series I remember watching were those Dodgers versus Yankees series. But yes, I do think that. I think there are definitely players who are fueled by emotion. And, you know, one of the things I know that we've talked about as a TV network is, does it make sense to put a DJ in the ring to create some atmosphere? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's going to happen, guys, but I know it's something that's been talked about.
I'm going to ask one non-fun question. Like you said, we're all excited to talk about tournaments and matchups and a bracket and all that stuff, but how far do you think they have to go to reach their goal of the testing that they want to have? Like, we know in the States that's been a big thing, is how accurate are the tests, how many people can get the tests, what kind of progress we're making. And I know all the leagues, by the time they start playing, they want to have a lot higher level on all these fronts than they do today, as we said. But they seem to be pretty confident they can get there.
That is true. Like, these leagues do seem to be pretty confident, and they do seem to be doing pretty confident in the sense they'll be able to do it where it doesn't take away from the general public. Now, I don't know how that's all going to work. I don't profess to be smart enough to tell you, but they're talking like that. One of the things I have heard is that It might not. There's a lot of tests out there now. They're talking about whether they be saliva tests where you don't have to do the swab. I've heard that they're looking into, are those options better? But, you know, I don't know. I know they're working on trying to formulate it, and because they have a unique issue with two countries, what they do in the United States might not be the same for what they do in Canada. So it's I can't answer the question as well as what you'd like, but I do agree with you that they seem confident that they're going to be able to solve this issue.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, and when I was watching Gary Bettman's announcement and him laying everything out the other day, he got to the draft lottery part, and I started calling him Uncle Gare because he lost me, because it was a little confusing, and I've figured it out a little bit more since then. Like, come on, Uncle Gare, come on, stay with us here. But what do you – obviously, in trying to figure this out of making everything fair, the draft was always going to be one that was going to be difficult. With how they've done this with the phase one and you know, the teams that aren't going to be the 24, but then the potential of the phase two and setting that all up with the draft lottery, what did you think about that whole thing?
Well, I remember someone first kind of told me what the draft lottery was going to look like, and I was like you. I was like, what? Like, how many university degrees do I need to understand this? And because I couldn't figure it out. But I have to say that when the commissioner explained it on Tuesday during the media conference, it actually made perfect sense to me. Now, I thought I was going to hate whatever they came up with on the draft lottery, but I have to tell you, I think it's the most fair. I've actually grown to like it. Look, like every year, 15 teams are in the lottery. 16 teams make the playoffs, and 15 teams are in the lottery. That's definitely the case here. You've got 15 teams in the lottery. Now, the one thing I might have changed was, you know, if we need the secondary lottery, all those teams that lose will have the same odds, 12.5%. I might have said, like, you know, if Montreal loses, they should get more odds than anyone else. Again, I'm not going to win that argument. But I really do think that that's probably the fairest way to do it. I mean, it's going to be weird if one of those teams gets the first pick and we have to wait 6 weeks to find out, okay, who's actually got the first pick. That is definitely going to be different. But I have to say that I thought the plan was better than anything I could have come up with and made a lot of sense.
Well, we still don't – I mean, we know when they're – June 26 is when they would start this process, you know, according to some things. But we still don't know exactly when the draft itself would be, right?
It's going to be after the season.
So they definitely would. Because when we were having that conversation of doing it before the playoffs or during the playoffs, I mean, it never made sense. So I'm after the season certainly would make sense and would make it easier for GMs to kind of have a plan of how to move players around and picks and trades. That seems to fit. How much time do you think really needs to be in between the end of the season and the draft and then the start of the next season?
Well, I can tell you that when they put out that memo advocating for the draft in June in the first place, they said that the league had said that them and the players had agreed on 45 to 55 days.
So 55.
And then I think it's going to come down to, you know, what the second wave looks like. And is there a special time specifically they want to start?
Specifically to the Predators, as we actually talk a little bit of the on-ice stuff, one of the conversations that we've had of, okay, who benefited the most from the layoff? Now that you know that the matchup is going to be against the Arizona Coyotes, who do you put in net? Is it UC Saros? Is it Pecorine? So if I asked you the question of looking at this roster of who you think probably benefited the most and could be dangerous when they actually start play, what would your answer be?
Well, I think we kind of hinted on it at the beginning. I'm looking at all your guys that didn't have good years. And I'm saying, okay, guys, that's over. You had your mental break. You had your physical break. You know, let's be who you are. You know, clearly Matt Duchene struggled with the expectations of coming to his new city. that's over now. It's still technically your first year, but your first year really is over. Now you're kind of starting year 1B. Ryan Johansson had a rough year. Forget it. Arvidsson, he was not himself. Hey, Magnus, this is your time. You're the great playoff player we have. Forget what happened before. I mean, if in goal, I'm going with Rene. Unless he, like, bombs out in the two exhibition games, he's my guy. He is my guy. But I think there's, like, and was there anybody on your team really playing hurt?
Aren't they all?
Yeah, I mean, that was good.
Victor Arvidsson is the one for me that stands out. I just don't think he was right for a long time.
I always call him Magnus Arvidsson because of the guy who used to play in Ottawa. Sorry about that. Yeah. I've done that on the air before. It's embarrassing. But, like, that's what I'd say. Like, you know, whatever happened before, it's over. It's gone. This is a new season. Like, I think of any team, you probably have as many. Like, the team to me that benefits the most physically is Columbus. Like, they were like zombies walking with all their body parts falling off, those guys. And yes. Now they've got a chance to really get healthy. Seth Jones is healthy. Cam Atkinson is healthy. Like, I don't know if there's a team that benefits more from an injury standpoint than them, but I look at you guys from a mental standpoint. And I don't know if there's a team that has a chance to benefit as much as you guys.
Okay, rapid fire on the way out. So, first two rounds, 5 or 7 games?
I think they want 7. I think they're worried about timing, 5.
What would you do?
It could be 5.
What would you do?
I would do as many 7-game series as I can.
Okay. Your two cities would be, it sounds like you were on board with Vegas too. So what would your two cities, Vegas and whom?
I would do Vegas. Like, I wouldn't care about location. I would do Vegas in one of the two Canadian cities out west, Vancouver or Edmonton. Pick.
Okay. And finally, last one. I'm getting old. I'm forgetting this stuff.
Well, I've got one.
The season, reseed
after the first round, or go by brackets.
I've heard that the reseeding is the most likely scenario, and I agree with that. I think best teams should get worst team, and I've heard they're leaning in that direction. That might possibly occur.
Okay, and the 2020-21 season will start in December.
I would, you know what, if I was them, I think the NBA is going to start on Christmas Day, which is a big day for them. If I'm the NHL, they've made New Year's a big day for them with their outdoor game. I'm going Jan 1.
Wow. Okay. All right. Good stuff on the way out. Thanks for the visual, the glorious beard earlier this week, and thanks for the visit. You have a great week.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Elliot. Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, every Thursday at 1 o'clock here on the show. We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.